now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. No! Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, the Jedi remain stranded on Mortis, and the sun, aligned with the dark side of the Force, renews his effort to convert Anakin as the Jedi prepare for a decisive confrontation. There will be me and Chris getting salty in this one because some major bullshit goes down. If you are a new listener to J-Guys and Jedi, and this is your first episode of J-Guys and Jedi, I'm sorry. I promise you we're not normally this mean and critical. This is a particularly shitty episode. So I'm sorry, come back next week. If you don't want to...
Nobody got time for this.
Yeah, so if you want all happy and glowing reviews of Star Wars, come back next week.
You started on the wrong episode.
We're talking about Ghost of Mortis. How are you doing, Chris? Recovered from 5 minutes ago talking about Mortis Part 2?
Oh, I'm just reminding everybody, remember my question from last episode.
Remind us the question.
What's the point? What will our characters learn and the story advance from this episode?
I think that's
And we'll find out soon enough.
Well, you ready to get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right, here we go. Ghost of Mortis is the 61st episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars and aired on February 11, 2011. It was written by Christian Taylor and directed by Stuart Lee. Some extra information for you. Liam Neeson is back as Qui-Gon Jinn in this episode. Some of the concept design for the Well of the Dark Side was taken from early Ralph McQuarrie designs for a subterranean levels of the Imperial Palace, where Luke Skywalker was going to face the Emperor deep within Coruscant in Star Wars Episode VI, Return of the Jedi. According to effects supervisor Joel Aaron, the well's magma used some of the same elements as Mustafar scenes as in Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith. Two Sith Lords, Darth Bane and Dark Raven, were originally scripted to be in this episode. The unrealized scene called Sun Confers with Ancient Sith Lords, it was released in an uncompleted form on the Jedi Temple Archives featured in the Clone Wars Season 3 DVD set, and it depicts Bane and Revan speaking with the Sun at the well in the Well of the Dark Side on Mortis. The Sun was being guided by the two Sith Lords, questioned why he feels pain over the events of the two previous episodes, and the Sith Lord tells him it is because he has not braced his pain and resentment. When the Sun demands to know their two identities, the spirits of the two spirits reveal themselves as Bane and Revan, and tell him that controlling Anakin, the Chosen One, is the key to controlling the galaxy. In the episode featurette, Dave Filoni goes into more detail about the two Sith Lords, and he says, one of the very interesting things in the final episode of Mortis that I know a lot of fans would have found very interesting. George was looking for two ancient Sith Lords that could bring some meaning that would be kind of like an uber evil influence guiding the Sun. It was Darth Bane and Darth Revan, both of which exist in the EU. It was going to be a big deal to bring in these legendary Sith Lords into Clone Wars and thus into the world of George Lucas's Star Wars story. We designed them, they are in the Clone Wars style, we modeled them in the Clone Wars style, and we shot the scene in the episode. The scene exists, but it never made it into animation. It only existed in layout. As cool as it was, I was very apprehensive of the scene because the implication of which these Sith Lords could separate themselves from the Force and somehow talk to the Sun, that seemed like a big deal. Can I just note how unsure about the story Dave Filoni sounds?
Yeah, I don't blame him.
No. About the time after we shot it and sent the reel to George, George watches it, he loves it, it's great. But eventually, I get a call from George. He says,
"You know, I've really been thinking about this, and we should take that scene out with the Sith Lords.
As disappointing as it was in a way, because it would have been cool to have those characters appear in Clone Wars, it was absolutely the right thing to do. They just can't exist in that form. They just can't exist in that way. I think for the fans, it would be neat to know that the idea was considered. It went very far with it, and in the end, with these discussions, oh wait, now it's not George talking. It was George that said.
It was George that said.
No, this doesn't jive with my bigger explanation of the Force.
It gives you some insight to the amount of detail that George gets into with the Force and the concept of the bigger spiritual aspects of Star Wars. The writers and I feel strongly when bringing these type of episodes to the screen, George has to be more involved than normal because we have to get the stuff right. This is the Force. This is the whole ball game.
Dave, the whole ball game, huh?
Dave, learn how to tell George no. Just tell George no.
You know who else plays the whole ball game?
Yoda?
Who wants to play the ball game with Yoda? Spoiler, Yoda always wins.
So is it two balls and a strike? Or do you...
Two balls, one cup, and the Force.
So, I have to say, I have a problem with this platitude this week, so take it away, Yoda.
He who seeks to control fate shall never find peace in bed.
Okay, here's the thing. People have free fucking will. People can control their own path. And yeah, it's hard and it's rocky and it might take a while. People choose what paths to walk on. Like, what is this platitude? There's a thing called free fucking will.
Well, that's sort of the same crummy conundrum that this arc is placing before us. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm just silently smoking over here, angry.
Grr.
Alright, let me take a sip of my water and then we'll be good to go. Alright, Act 1. Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
After the events from last week where Ahsoka was possessed and the great light side power of the daughter was killed, you would think that the Jedi could get the heck out of Mortis Dodge. Nope, we're still stuck on Mortis. This is my favorite part of this episode, too, because...
It's Groundhog Day in Star Wars.
Before I read this, can I just say that they're like, we need to get out of here, but Obi-Wan and Anakin are not helping repair the ship. They're just standing there, talking. And I'm like, why aren't you fixing your fucking ship? Alright, anyway.
I know, Anakin's the one who's all, like, mechanically inclined, too.
I know, so... That's one of my favorite parts of the episode, is that they're just standing there talking and Ahsoka is just like, I'm 14 and fixing the car. So, yeah. Alright, so we're still in Mortis. Obi-Wan and Anakin stand on the loading dock of their crashed ship, commenting about the weather and stuff. Anakin's not sure if they should leave with the sun being all dark side evil and stuff. Obi-Wan is like, you've ignored me for the last two episodes. We're getting the heck out of here, whether you like it or not. And Ahsoka pops her head up out of the ship and goes, hold up, for one, why aren't you guys helping me fix this? Anakin, you're the mechanic master, and I'm fixing it? This is dumb. Second, we're not going anywhere soon. The ship engine is broken in like 10 places. We will be lucky if we leave the atmosphere. And Anakin's like, well, since we're stuck here, I'm gonna go see the father to find out what to do about his son. Bye now. And he speeds away, and Obi-Wan is like, why don't my kids ever listen to me? Meanwhile, the father goes to mourn his deceased daughter and sticks the dagger of Mortis in her tomb. And after sealing up the place, he realizes that Anakin is there with him. And father is like, dude, you should have left like an hour ago. And Anakin's like, excuse you. Because you guys brought us here, we crashed. It's going to take some time to fix. So unless you can magically shoot us out of here, we're stuck. And the father is like, well, either way, I just have to kill my son. And Anakin's like, cool, I can help you kill your son. And the father is like, well, it's not your choice to make anymore. And Anakin goes, hey, that's funny, because you forced me to come here, you made me decide who not to kill between my master and my Padawan, offered me the choice of being the balance of the Force, and after I said no, you are the one that let your son go crazy because of your actions, and it led my Padawan to almost get killed and led to the death of your daughter. So pardon me as I say, fuck you, old man. This is all your fault. I'm just trying to help, and you say that I don't have a choice? Come on. And the father is like, whatever. This place is strong with the Force. Go do as the Force wants you to do. And Anakin leaves, and he wanders out into the wilderness, where he finds Qui-Gon Jinn. And Qui-Gon tells Anakin that he, being Qui-Gon, believes that Anakin will bring balance to the Force after facing his demons. And Anakin is like, and I get to kill the son, right? And Qui-Gon is like, what? No, just go to the well of the dark side and you'll find your answers there. And Anakin goes, oh, okay, well then I get to kill the son, right? And Qui-Gon is like, Jesus fucking Christ, you're a Jedi. No, don't kill people. Just go to the well and find some answers and trust your instincts. And then Qui-Gon vanishes and Anakin is like, that was super vague, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to kill the son. And Qui-Gon rolls over in his grave. What'd you think of Act 1, Chris?
Yeah, that's all we get Qui-Gon for is basically to say, trust your instincts. Oh, thanks, dude. Thanks.
You think?
I'll try to my positive things, I guess. Lots of blue. This is a blue color scheme going on.
Well, the light side is dead.
I like the shot of Anakin with the twin moons over his shoulder. It sort of echoes the twin suns of Tatooine, I guess.
Oh, that's cool, because Luke is the dark and Anakin, or Luke is the light with the suns, and Anakin's the dark with the moons.
With the moons. And there's a lot of neat shots of, like, I guess the family crest or symbol, and, like, you know, the on the wall, and then there's, like, a shadow of it over the daughter's grave and stuff. That's pretty neat. I like her Jesus. It's like a Jesus tomb mixed with the Flintstones that she's got going there. I thought for sure that she was going to walk out of there float out of there, because it's like, oh, they're rolling the rock in front of her cave, you know. But I guess not. And that's about all I got to say about this one. It's just like, hey, all right, let's look for some answers at the end of this arc. Oh, look, they're muddling it up even more.
Yeah.
And we're not learning anything. We're still just getting bounced around from quest to quest. Go here, get this sword, go to the well and look in the well, you know, find the gold piece, ask the mystery gnome where to find the special gold piece.
But father, I rolled a natural 20.
Yeah, exactly. It's good to hear Liam Neeson's voice, I guess, like in the first part of the arc. But it's like, it's nice that they got Liam Neeson back. He's doing even less in this episode than he did in the first one. At least there was a little more resonance with him and Obi-Wan, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, they could have had a little more. This one could have been a little more crazy, because Anakin might have, you know, you could have put Anakin, like, sort of going back to relating to him more as a child, you know, because that's how he remembers.
That could have been a really good scene, because that would have been a, like,
or they may, they for... actually, at this point, why not just make Anakin into a little Anakin, little Annie, you know? And have him meet. That would have been at least, if you're going to go full psychedelic, go batshit crazy, you know?
And that could have been a time where they could have really, like, hit the nail on the head for the living Force, which doesn't get mentioned a lot in Star Wars.
It would have been neat to see what little Annie looked like in Clone Wars modeling, too.
Yeah. But I would have, like, that would have been a good, like, chance for him to be like, how are you here? And, like, you know, I'm part of the living Force, and this entire place is the living Force, or whatever. At least that would have had, like, some kind of explanation to it.
Mm-hmm.
I only have two notes for this section, which is, the first
one. Sure.
Yeah. Around the daughter's tomb, there was those little hills with a little light sticking out of them. To me, that looks kind of like a graveyard. And now the actual building of her tomb is different. Like, it actually looks different from the little hills with the light bulbs in, you know? But it gives the implication that there was other people in those. Like, did those not look like burial mounds?
Well, I mean, since the father's looking for a replacement, you know, yeah, there probably were. Why they don't get tombs, I don't know.
And, you know, I think there's something like, it's on the Wikipedia. I don't think it's actually mentioned anywhere in these three episodes where there have been people who have talked about these three figures before and, like, they're around in legend, so maybe other people have found them before. I don't know. Because, like, later on in the episode, the son was just like, oh, it could take a while before another ship comes. And I'm just like, do other ships find Mortis? Like, what is that? But maybe those are people who have come before Anakin and Obi-Wan and Ahsoka and have died there or something. I don't know. Anyway, and I think it's also important to note in the conversation between Qui-Gon and Anakin that it's all Qui-Gon's opinion. He's not, like, definitely saying that. He's not confirming or denying that Anakin is the Chosen One. It's just what he thinks, and he says that. He's just like, I believe that you will bring balance to the Force. And this is kind of smart, too, because it falls back on the whole is Anakin or Luke the Chosen One argument, and it's also what old Obi-Wan does in Rebels when talking to Maul. You know, Maul goes, is he the Chosen One? And Obi-Wan says, I believe he is. And Dave Filoni backed that up. He was just saying that's Obi-Wan's opinion that Luke is the Chosen One, but that doesn't mean that Luke is actually the Chosen One.
Right, right.
So I thought that that was a nice little distinction there, because they could have had Qui-Gon just being like, yes, Anakin, you're the Chosen One. I believed it in my life, or whatever.
You might as well have in this episode anyway, too, yeah.
Like, there's no definite answers in the episode, too, so. All right, ready? Act two?
Yeah.
Act
Maybe
two.
This one will answer some questions.
What is this all about? What's the plan, Dad?
We must be getting close. It's near the end of the arc.
So, here we go. Act two. Back at the ship, Obi-Wan has a new plan. He wants Ahsoka to unfix parts of the ship. And Ahsoka is like, but we're ready to leave, and you want me to pull apart all the power in the fire drives or whatever? And Obi-Wan tells her to trust him. And outside the ship, Obi-Wan meets the father and asks where Anakin is. And the father is like, I sent him to the well of the dark side to choose his destiny. I'm letting the will of the Force guide him. And Obi-Wan's like, excuse you, that's funny, because you're the one that fucked with our lives in the first place. You got your kid killed, you killed your child pretty much, and you did it for your own selfish goals, but now you're letting Anakin follow the Force and make his own choices after you've been fucking up? You know what? Screw you. I'm gonna go find Anakin myself. Anakin and Obi-Wan are very, very sassy today. And Obi-Wan goes to find him. I forgot to put that in there. Anakin arrives at the dark side, the well of the dark side, and it's pretty much like episode 3 on Mustafar in there. Like in all video games, when you have a lit up space on the ground, you know that that's where you're supposed to go.
Exactly, yes.
I know!
I didn't even think about that, but now that you mention it, it's so, like, glaringly obvious.
Yeah, there's a joke on Tumblr where there's a sidewalk and this cat is laying on the sidewalk, but this one tiny circle beam of sunlight is on this cat.
Yeah.
The rest of the sidewalk is fine, and somebody was like, that's my new side mission. I must go talk to this cat.
Right.
But that's what it is. Like, it's your save point. This is the save point of the Mortis arc. Get your life now and save your file. Oh, man. Anakin goes to the lit-up star symbol on the ground, and of course stands on it. And the sun shows up, and he's all like, welcome to the dark side level of our game. Let's be friends. And Anakin's like, nope, I don't want any of that. And the sun is like, but I brought you a present. I'm gonna show you the future. And the sun forces upon Anakin a vision of his future, which is everything from Order 66 to killing Padme to blowing up Alderaan, and finally, the Darth Vader mask. And the son says if they join forces, they can kill this future emperor and bring peace to the galaxy. And Anakin accepts his offer. Obi-Wan arrives at the Well of the Dark Side and finds Anakin all hopped up on dark side steroids. And the son force lightning zaps Obi-Wan to the ground, and Anakin takes Obi-Wan's speeder. He says that the Jedi will stand in his way of peace. And Anakin flies away with the sun, leaving Obi-Wan in the pit of episode 3. Obi-Wan immediately calls Ahsoka and tells her not to trust Anakin, and she has to break the ship again. and Anakin and the Sun cannot leave Mortis. Right at that moment, Anakin arrives, and Ahsoka makes a quick choice in stealing the ship's starter, and she sneaks out and steals a speeder and zips away, and Anakin is in a rage. Ahsoka goes to pick up Obi-Wan, and they now have some time to figure out how to rescue Anakin.
Oh, where to begin? Not that I have many notes.
I have some notes.
Alright, we're getting a Mustafar preview, but hey, why not? Because Anakin's going to learn everything. I mean, this is where it goes into just overdrive fanfic time of indulging every, like, let's see. I mean, this is the first we've seen of an image of Darth Vader, isn't it?
In Clone Wars, yes. Yeah, like, we've heard the Vader music, but this is the first time actually seeing Vader.
And it's a red, you know, just, you know, very, very pretty, you know, evil looking fiery red lit Vader mask and everything, and it's really neat looking, but in this story it's just like, ah, really, we're blowing this big moment here in fanfic land.
You know, I would love to never see Vader in Clone Wars, because this is Anakin's story.
Yeah, that's right. We don't need all this stuff is superfluous to know before episode 3, before any, you know.
Because think of it this way. What if a child is watching Clone Wars and they've never seen episode 3 or any of the original trilogies? And, like, so what if, say, like, they're going in chronological order? So they've watched episode 1, they've watched episode 2, they're watching Clone Wars. You just fucking spoiled for that child episode 3.
And Empire Strikes, yeah.
I mean, yeah, you just
no, yeah, just generally
that.
Episode 3. But you're spoiling parts of episode 4 because you show Alderaan getting blown up, and, you know. So it's like, why didn't they show him tossing the Emperor down the hole, too, you know? Right? They only showed his trip over to Darth Vader, but they didn't into Darth Vader,
I mean,
but they...
At this point, why didn't they show Luke, Leia, Han?
Right. Why didn't they show him getting redeemed at the end of his life after chucking the Emperor down?
Throw that in there, some Jabba the Hutt. I mean, just throw everything in there. We already have everything in this episode.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Why not? What?
The Cantina Band.
Why hold back? Yeah, why not have Sice Noodles going like, Anakin, I love you.
Vader? Yeah. I mean, if you're going to throw in all this, you might as well throw in fun.
Yeah. It's... At this point, I'm just like, you know, realizing we're not going to get anything. At this point, like, the first time I saw this, you know, in the course of everything, I'm like, all I'm thinking by the end of Act 2 is, how the hell are they going to shore this up to make any sense, you know? How are they going to fit this in the continuity of everything? This is, you can't have Anakin knowing this stuff. So, just more confusion and just general, like, grumpiness instead of, like, whoa, this is wild and wacky, you know? Yeah. Do not like. No, sir, I don't like it. That's it for my notes.
Okay, so here we go. Here's my notes. Okay, so one of the biggest problems I have with this arc is the character of the father. He is very inconsistent in every episode. He is constantly flip-flopping what he wants Anakin to do. And how he believes in the Force, and how he thought Anakin could be the balance. But now, but like, because you know, like in the first episode, he was like, Anakin, I'm giving you the choice by forcing you to decide between your master and your Padawan. And in the episode, he's like, I'm forcing you to do this. And now he's just like, you know what, Anakin, my kids are dead. Just go do whatever you want. Like, he's constantly, like, flip-flopping, and it's just crap. It's so inconsistent, and he keeps contradicting himself in every episode. Yeah.
These are high-level mystical characters, and they're acting like bumbling dummies, you know, basically.
Yeah.
Sort of.
And so he's, you know, if he's supposed to be the balance, it's not like what Bindu was in Rebels. Like, Bindu really was, like, was literally a rock on a planet. Like, he just was there. And even when Kanan pissed off Bindu to attack the Empire, Bindu attacked the Rebels as well. He attacked both their sides because he was not biased to one or the other.
Yeah, I think Bindu has a warm spot for Kanan, But he's not gonna be too upset over, like, when Kanan dies, because, like, Kanan's lifespan is just a blink of an eye to him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't get the import that Bendu has with these guys. You know, Bendu at all times is like, you like him, but at the same time, he's, you know, mysterious. He's got a side of him that's crusty and that could turn on you. He's got a lot of stuff going on, you know, and he's got an actual real personality, and he seems like a real character that's that age and that level in the Force, where these guys are just like, they're creations, you know. they're fanfic creations. They just sort of exist to bounce the characters around from place to place, and just every once in a while, and it seemed like that it's like bounce them around up until this act two, where it's like, here's the big scene where Anakin sees his future, and it is a big scene because it's like crazy that Anakin sees his future, but that's sort of, everything else has just been sort of leading up to that, and it didn't really do anything to lead up to that. It was just sort of this repeating little loop that they were all playing through of getting run around and kidnapped and fighting the sun, and, you know, and all the, you know, every act, it seems like there was sort of a, like, what would be the resolution, you know, where the daughter dies and saves Ahsoka, and then they go away or whatever. But it just keeps repeating, and not in a way that it's like poetic or interesting or literate use of repetition. It's just sort of like spinning wheels.
I guess, like, it's trying to have a message of, in the grand scheme of things, like, one human life is insignificant, but that's very not Star Wars. Like, Star Wars has always been, like, one human...
It doesn't really add anything to Star Wars, because Star Wars is sort of saying that human life's very significant, you know, on the larger scale, it's like the small parts of humanity are the ones that have the effect on the large scale, you know, so...
Yeah, and it's not a very Star Wars thing. It only took one Luke, one Rey, one Jin, one Kanan, like, you know, one Ezra. Like, it only takes these, like, one people to come together and to make stuff happen. So it's not a very Star Wars message to say, like, you know, these humans are insignificant compared to these gods. So it just doesn't work.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Just a little joke. Lava apparently equals dark side, so Hawaii must be evil with all those evil volcanoes everywhere.
Yep.
And then I just started thinking, you know, I feel like a more appropriate element for the dark side would actually be ice, because it kills you more slowly, and it gives you hope that you might get rescued, but you don't, and you're lost to the cold. Like, I feel like ice would be a better representative of the dark side.
It's almost more evil, but, like, then again, the dark side is also, like, really engaged in their passions, you know? They aren't, like, icily, you know, dissociated killers, you know, they like hate you and kill you. They're using hate and anger.
Though I will say, like, ice dying of, like, freezing, it actually kind of gives you hope, because I think when you're freezing to death, there's a time where you're so numb you actually feel warm before you die.
No, they're like, you know, people who freeze to death, like, or almost freeze to death, but I guess it's reported that as you're freezing to death, like, say you're huddled outside, like, laying down, that, you know, after a while, your body starts going into a very pleasant sleep, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I'm going to sleep now. And that's usually the final stages of freezing to death, is almost a warm, fuzzy, safe, comfortable feeling.
And that feels very dark side to me. Like, oh, the dark side is good. You'll have power until you don't.
You're dead.
So I'm going to get back to this big note in a second, just because it's... Someone, IGN interviewed Dave Filoni about this scene, and I'm going to save that for the end of Act 2. Let me get through my notes, and then I'm going to go back up to that interview. Here's a problem I have with anything that has to do with the future stuff, is, again, it takes out the idea of free will.
Uh-huh.
The son says that Anakin has a choice to make, but then he controls Anakin and takes away Anakin's ability to make any choices. And what I would have rather have seen in this scene is Anakin be a hero, you know? Like, Anakin sees all these terrible things, and he chooses not to go with the sun, and he chooses to fight it. Because Clone Wars is the story of Anakin, not the story of Anakin. I mean, you could argue it's the story of how Anakin becomes Vader, but the focus is what a hero Anakin was, and that's why it's so tragic that he turns into Vader. And so I would much rather have Anakin be like, see his future of becoming Vader, and he's just like, no, I'm
yeah,
not going to do that.
Close but no cigar. Yeah, it's not until episode 3 that he's ready, you know, that...
And
he's
then
ready
have,
to be picked by Palpatine.
Yeah, because then you have all the, you know, 3 more seasons of Clone Wars of him going like, oh my god, like, I'm to show that he fails and these failures pile up on him, and that's what pushes him towards Vader. But god, like, it would have been so much, like, the fact that they could have written this story of him being a hero instead of him just being like, oh, that's my future, well, I guess I'll join the dark side. You know, like, how... I would have much rather seen Anakin fight against the sun, be like, I'm not going to do it, man. Like, that's not me. That's not who I am. I'm not going to kill my wife. I'm not going to blow
right.
up a planet. I'm not going to become that.
It's kind and, of... What happened was kind of pandery more than anything else. Fan service
yeah.
pandery.
And it doesn't make sense. He was like, well, you're going to go to the dark side, but let me have you join me on the dark side so we can kill the Emperor and make peace. And Anakin was just like, okay. Like, it didn't make sense. And just a little side note before I go back up to this interview. I just like seeing how far Ahsoka has come mechanically. Season 1, we saw Anakin teaching her about ships and how to track fuel logs and stuff like that. And in this episode, she's the one fixing the damn ship, and she breaks it like 3 times for them on purpose. So it's just nice to get that little bit of character progression there. And my last big thing for this. So I was looking around for articles that came out about this episode because I wanted to see how the other people were reacting to this episode. And Dave Filoni did an interview with IGN at the end of season 3, and he talked about the Mortis arc, so I just wanted to read this little thing. So IGN asks, how cool was it for you guys, even just for a glimpse, to put Vader on the show during the Mortis story arc this season? It's not cool. Filoni says, you know, it's always one of those things that you wonder about. Wow, should we really do that?
No.
Are we really going to do that? No, Dave, you shouldn't have done it. And then you just go for it. Joel Aaron really wanted to do it, and it just makes it that much more Star Wars. When you hear Vader's breathing and you see him, it was awesome. Jesse, the guy who oversees the lit shot and did the effects, he must have done umpteen takes of that because it meant so much to him. Everyone wanted to get that, what was it, 8 frames of that for? Everyone wanted to get those 8 frames just perfect. And yeah, he's an icon. Everyone knows Vader, and I think it's important in that moment in the show because you really get to say, oh yeah, that is Anakin. And that's something that I think is something sometimes hard for people. That is the same guy. We're heading that way. It's going to get bad, but what can you do? What can he do, Dave? Don't put in the fucking show.
Guess what, Dave? We already know that. That already hangs over the show. It does
yeah.
already hang over the show. And yeah, and like you said, it's better to have it. This is the heroic Anakin. That's what sort of Clone Wars serves as, is seeing Anakin doing some jerky, you know, jerky dark side things here and there. But for the most part, he wants to be a good guy, and he's being a good guy. And that's... part, you know, that's sort of the function of Clone Wars, to make it that much more tragic in episode 3. So,
and it's just like, and you know, even in the Mortis arc, we had that, like, when in the very first episode, Anakin was talking with his mom, and he was just like, I'm a bad Jedi because I have a wife. I mean, you know, we don't need to physically see Vader to know that that's where Anakin's going. And again, I'm saying, you fucking just spoiled that for a child. You know, you're spoiling it for somebody if they're watching it in chronological order that Anakin becomes Vader. I mean, how fucking dare you? I know I shouldn't say how dare you to the creators of Clone Wars, but I mean, I just always think of like some child watching it and they're like, wait, what do you mean Anakin's going to become Vader? You know, it just, we don't need to visually see Vader in Clone Wars.
Yeah,
because
it's fan service. It's very frustrating.
And it's like you said, like, Anakin becoming Vader already hangs over the show. We don't need it. So, and that's all I had for Act 2. Act 3?
Act 3. Let's polish this puppy off.
Let's take old Yeller at back. old Mortis. You're going to take him out back. The rabies got him. All right, so act three.
Finish his flea-bitten ass off.
Anakin and the son have an evil conference together. They're like, well, Mortis dad and Obi-Wan dad will try to stop us. We need to find something to help us. And the son leaves so he can go find whatever that thing is. And the father arrives to chat with Anakin. And Anakin is like, so, I become this Vader guy, so I joined your son, so that doesn't happen. And the father is like, that doesn't make sense. The dark side can't fix the dark side. Your destiny isn't set in stone. And Anakin is all like, rawr, rawr, I'll cause some pain, and rawr, rawr, Darth Vader, and rawr, I'm going to be terrible. And the father is like, oh my god, shut up. And you know what? I'm going to fix you right now, and you're going to forget everything like it never happened. And he touches Anakin's head and erases everything he saw on the dark side well. So what's the fucking point?
Here's where the question gets answered. There is no fucking point.
The son arrives at his sister's tomb, and he takes a moment to mourn her. Once he's done, he takes the dagger of Mortis for himself. The father takes Anakin back to his monastery, and instead of saying something smart like, oh, I rescued you from the sun, the father flat out tells Anakin, hey, you saw the future and forgot about it after I erased your memory. I could have lied so you never knew, but now, whatever, I'm pretty much done here, because I'm taking away all your fucking choices, whatever. Obi-Wan and Ahsoka arrive. The team is back together as the son arrives right on cue. The father makes one last plea to his son, but the kid is too far gone. So they all fight. And well, the Jedi try to fight, but they just get thrown around. And the father takes the dagger of Mortis, and in a surprise turn of events, he stabs himself, and not his son, and the dad shanks himself. The son panics, because his dad is dying, and now they say that he's linked to his dad. So if his dad dies before he leaves Mortis, then the son goes down with the ship, which again is very unclear. And the father hugs his son, and he says that he always knew that there was good in him. Then Anakin stabs the son in the back, killing him. But he stabs the son with his lightsaber, not the dagger of Mortis, which was established last episode as the only thing that can kill these guys. So again, it's all very unclear. With the son dead, and the father is like, well, Anakin, you're the chosen one. Stay on this path and bring balance to the galaxy, like you have on this planet, but beware of your heart. And unlike his kids, the father dies and goes into the Force like Obi-Wan in episode 4. And the world literally starts falling apart, and the Jedi are like, welp, it's time to go. And there's a big flash of light, and suddenly the Jedi wake up on their ship out in the middle of nowhere with Rex calling them, and they fly to dock with the Republic cruiser like nothing fucking happened. The end.
Thank God.
Oh my God. All right, you go first. Because I'm probably going to yell.
I have a note here that's like, didn't the son actually want to kill the father? And yeah. It's like, why even ask that question? Because there's just a million questions like that. All their motivations are so muddled up. It's got the Wizard of Oz ending, you know, of like everybody waking up in the shit. And you were there, Anakin. And you were there, Obi-Wan. You know, it's just, and all for nothing. It's for nothing. You saw how Anakin learned stuff and reacted to it, and then it's gone. So it's like the characters are as they were pretty much at the beginning of it. So it was all just like it, but basically it was all just a show to indulge George Lucas and with a bunch of like fanfic in it, fan service. Nothing. That's all the notes I have.
Okay, I got a few.
Nada.
This is the good note. Ready? This is the nice one. I do like the little scene of the son and his sister's tomb, because the dark side and the light side can't exist without each other, and it's yin and yang and all that. These personified versions of the light and the dark side, like they're personified, and even though they fought all three episodes, the son and the daughter loved each other because she was constantly defending him, and he admits that he truly loved her because they have to exist together. And so I thought that was kind of a cool moment. It was the only time I felt that these characters actually fucking had feelings. That was the only time I was just like, oh, you did love your sister. Because he was actually distraught when he stabbed his sister. That was the only time I felt like these characters actually had some kind of, like, character development at all. Anyway.
Or at least the appearance of it.
Yeah. So Anakin sees all this stuff about Vader and Order 66, and the father makes him forget it. This is shenanigans right there. It feels like they're playing fan service for the Vader scene, as you said. What's the point? So what if the dad died and became Bindu? The father goes into the Force, like the Force goes, but his kids have physical dead bodies, you know? But he's the only one that goes into the Force. And we know that several Jedi become Force ghosts, mainly Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, Yoda, and then later Anakin. So do you become a Force ghost when you have balance? Like, what is your thoughts on that, Chris?
I don't know. I don't think he became Bendu because Bendu's too cool and has too much personality.
Yeah. And I will say, people, I just want to hear Chris's take on this, so please don't spoil later things for Clone Wars. I just wanted to see what you thought about you know, you only become a Force ghost when you have balance.
Yeah. Do you think the father had balance at all?
Well, he was the balance, the personified.
Yeah, I know, but the daughter was dead, and the son was powerful, so how could you balance that?
But he finally had balance after the son died, and then he went into the Force.
I get you. See, that's okay. the you know, when you're gonna present stuff like that, you have to present clear, simple rules. You know, this come like all these rules. This would be like you were playing this D&D campaign for like the last 6 months, so it's built up to these. It's just there's too many like and then this and this means this and this and this. You know, every 10 seconds for the last 3 episodes. How are you going to keep up with it? And they all contradict each other and, mm-hmm. you know, or go nowhere. So it's like,
like, maybe I guess that's the point. Like, if you invest too much in the light side or the dark side, you're just going to contradict yourself, but you need the both of, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. It's a PG-13, 22 minute kid show. Not going to discourage them to try to present that stuff, but you got to do it in a crystal clear manner, because this show is only the whole arc combined together is only a little more than an hour, so you know this whole having this whole you know just convoluted mythos presented in these 3 episodes, it just does not work at all.
Yeah. All right, here's the two, okay, because, you know, leading up to this arc, I was just like, I hate the Mortis arc for this reason. This is the two reasons why I fucking hate the Mortis arc so much. I invested 3 episodes of time into this, and they never addressed this again.
And the first episode had you all like, primed up that it was going to be good.
I know.
Not me, but you.
Yeah. First arc, and if they left and they never had these 2 episodes, I would have been like, yes, the Mortis episode is brilliant. It's so good. But then you have last week and this week, and these episodes are bullshit. Do you want to know why they're bullshit? There's a word for this. It's called fan fiction. George Lucas is writing fan fiction, and Dave Filoni got to make it. And
the funny thing is Dave Filoni is the one who had should have been, like, if it was a typical situation, Dave Filoni would be the one doing the fanfic and George Lucas would be reining him in, and it's just the complete opposite.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Dave Filoni to have to, like, try to make this into something that makes sense, you know?
Because, here we go, I'm going to admit something. Since I watched this episode last, I thought it ended with the Jedi forgetting about their time on Mortis, which infuriated me. But now that I see it again, the Jedi remembered their time. And Anakin leaves knowing that he's the Chosen One. There should be big freaking discussions with the Jedi Council about this. There should be talks and debates and people looking into these Force beings and all that. And so the phrase that I used last week, this is some magical destiny bullshit.
Yeah, they should have been like, Master Yoda, what's up with these guys? You ever heard of these guys? You ever run into these doofballs?
They should be giving, like, debriefings and then talking about it and, like, looking into it more.
It would be fun. You know what would be great? If they brought it up to the Jedi Council and they all start looking at each other and laughing. And they're just like, psych! And they, like, it was all just something that they set up. Like, Mace Windu put on his chest piece mask. And they're like, all right, let's mess with him.
That would have been so much better.
Yeah, of course it would have.
That's the bullshit of this episode, is that, like, I originally thought that they had just forgotten about that. If they had forgotten about it, it still would have been bullshit, because then I just wasted three episodes of my time. But it's even bigger bullshit that the Jedi remember this, and that it's never addressed ever again. Like, there's nowhere else in the canon that they address the fucking Mortis arc. They don't ever mention that, like, the Force beings, it's not in the canon. This is it. This is all we get.
Afterwards, they're not like, holy shit, that was intense. They were just like, oh, hey, Rex, let's just pretend that didn't happen.
Or at least have something to where, like, you know, they go, like, they start looking for, like, what if there are other Force beings out there? And, like, maybe that's, or even, like, if they had, like, been in Rebels, right? And Kanan found Bindu, and he was like, oh, you are a Force being. I heard about those. Like, Master Yoda talked something about these guys from Mortis. That was all I would need. Like, that's all I would need. But it's bullshit. We never come back to this. And that's crap. And then the other issue I have is now Anakin knows he's the Chosen One. That right there should be a defining moment in the series. Every character arc from this point to episode 3 should be him struggling that he knows he's the Chosen One. But it's never brought up again. There's no mention for the rest of fucking Clone Wars. And I know, I've seen all of Clone Wars where they are like, Anakin's the Chosen One. He knows this now and he should struggle with it. Every arc of him like being like, should I be the Chosen One? I don't want to be the Chosen One. Maybe I should be the Chosen One. Every arc should be Anakin from here to episode 3 struggling. But they act like Mortis never happened. And so, you know what?
I'm glad they do.
Yeah. And so I would have much rather them just erase the Jedi minds. Like, they came out of it like nothing happened. I would much rather them, you know, erase it. Because if they're not going to have Anakin struggling, I mean, that should be a major point. And this is pretty much right in the smack dab middle of Clone Wars. Middle of season 3 is the very middle of Clone Wars. So if they're going to have Anakin know that he's the Chosen One, every fucking character arc from here to the end to episode 3 should be him struggling with it. But they never address it again. So therefore, like, it's literally like Mortis never happened. That is my issue with this episode. And that's why this arc is terrible.
I agree.
I'm done.
All right, you want me to sum it up and score it? I might as well just score it, because it's like summing it up. I mean, basically, when it all comes down to it, it turns out to be like the last episode of Dallas or, you know, or whatever.
It was all a dream.
You know, even though it wasn't technically all a dream.
Or like Lost, where they're always in purgatory.
Yeah, it's just some sort of, you know, some sort of thing that can just get like shrugged off and abandoned. And I'm glad it's getting shrugged off and abandoned. I just wish we hadn't gone down that road, because there was no reason to go down that road. If it was a fun ride down the road and like over the top ridiculous, I might have some love in my heart for this. But we're back to the beginning of the arc. I'm giving this sucker a 5. It was a little more visually exciting, I guess, and color coordinated than the first episode. But they had to do the whole like touch your forehead, you forget thing, and so back down. It could have maybe gotten a 6, like the last one, but that. They're lucky I didn't knock it down to a 4 or 3 or something like that too. I'm being kind.
You're being way kinder than I am.
Oh, okay. I've been like not scrolling down to see yours. Okay, I'm only slightly kinder than you, I guess.
I think this is my lowest score of Clone Wars thus far.
This is definitely your lowest score of Clone Wars.
Because I think the only one that was lower than this was Bombad Jedi, maybe. And even then, I think that one was like a 6.
I think that one was like a 5.5 or 6 or something like that. Yeah.
This episode absolutely infuriates me. There should be huge, massive repercussions of the Jedi remembering the Mortis arc and the planet of Mortis and the Force users. There should be actions taken by the Jedi. They should be looking for other Force users. They should be looking for answers. Anakin, from here on out, should be struggling knowing that he's the Chosen One. But it's never brought up again for the rest of the show. This entire thing is like Mortis never happened. I'm not invested in the father, I don't care about the son, and I don't care about the daughter as an audience member. The only thing I care about the son is that he's voiced by Sam Witwer, and you know what? He's much better as Maul. This was a waste of my time. I'm giving it a 4.5 out of 10, my lowest score of Clone Wars so far.
Yeah, that's about right.
I can't wait to hear our listeners' feedback for these three episodes.
Yeah, I can't wait either. I have a feeling it's going to be split. I have a feeling there's going to be some people who like it and some people who don't like it.
Yeah, I think...
And I can see that, but I have a feeling that you're either going to really like it or you're going to really not like it.
Yeah, so I definitely want to hear your feedback for this, guys. Like, I'm very interested to see that. So, as always, we would love to hear your feedback, as I just said. And you can leave us feedback on iTunes, and that helps people find the show. You can leave us feedback on Twitter at JGuysAndJedi or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. We got actually a lot of feedback on our Two True Freaks Facebook page, and this is for our celebration special. So take it away, Chris.
Yeah, this is the episode where we actually almost came to blows over numbering sequence of... Because it was Last Jedi trailer talk and stuff. And so that's just a little context for the first letter. We got a lot of, and you know, it's funny. Whenever we go off topic, that's when we get the most attention, it seems. It's funny. So Patrick Delmore wrote in, "Mummy and Daddy are fighting again. I loved, all caps, this episode, you guys."
Glad you liked us fighting.
People always like to hear podcasters fight.
Yeah.
Dance like monkeys. Oh, wait. What am I thinking? This is Patrick Delmore. "Mummy and Daddy are fighting again. I love this episode, you guys. Not just for hearing my comments read by Chris in a squeaky voice. Please feel welcome to continue reading me as a squeaky voice teen." Ha ha ha, of course. "Also, for all the fun speculation of the hosts and other commenters, just to be clear, I was being sarcastic when I said Luke was able to turn into a cloud like Bendu. However, I would love to see Daisy Ridley get inside of R2. And then Aaron Henley said, "I thought the exact same thing, Patrick." Whoa, that's weird. And then I said, "Dude, I was going to do your voice that way, permission or not," which is true. And so we got one from David Walker here. It says, "Hey, Hope,
this is all the same from here on down. I just separated them so you could see all the different people."
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, from here on out, this is all one post. I just put spaces in between them so the people wouldn't run together for you.
Okay.
I took care of you, boo.
So David Walker says, "Hey, Hope, do you think Luke and Leia know who their mother is? The only people I know who knew that their mother gave birth to them were Yoda, Bail, and Obi-Wan. They're all dead. Well, Anakin knew too, but again, dead. They could get details from the Force Ghost, but was there anyone else who would have known?" And you said, "I feel like Leia said something in the original trilogy about a real mother. Like, I think is when they were with the Ewoks and Luke and were chatting. I could be completely wrong, but I feel like she knows Padme as her mom at least." And you're right about when they were, that was where they were talking about it in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And David Walker says, "I don't know that was her real mother she was talking about, since she talks about remembering her a little bit, being beautiful but also kind of sad. And Leia as a newborn has maybe a day, if we're generous, to remember her from." That's true. And Aaron Henley says, "That's generous, Dave. According to the movie, Padme gave birth, didn't even get to hold the kids, by the way, and then dies. That whole scene is rushed to mirror Vader's birth, so I get what thematically George Lucas was going for, but in execution it makes me mad looking back on it critically." And David Walker says, "I can't remember exactly how those scenes go, so I was allowing for extra time to happen between cuts. And yes, was being very generous with that. We'll have to look into them again to see what's what." And then you said, maybe it's a Force thing, and the Force helped her remember things with Padme, because it couldn't be Breha, because she raised Leia until she was, like, 19.
And, that kind of the point I was going with that, too, in Shattered Empire, one of the few times that we really see Leia being able to use her Force abilities is she walked into the hangar of Naboo, and she sensed Darth Maul being there at one point. And, it's a really cool scene because it has Darth Maul's face over Leia's face, and Leia goes, I feel cold. Mm-hmm. And so, I think that, she might not actually remember her real mother, but somehow Leia has either, had dreams about her real mother, or the Force has shown her Padme. Or I would even say, when Leia was old enough, I could see Bail and Breha, tell her, your mom was Padme Amidala.
Well, he asked her, do you remember your real mother?
Yeah.
And she said, no, not really. So she, she remembers her adopted mother. But, yeah. Once again, George Lucas had not written episode one at that time, so.
And it's the term of real mother that gets me, that kind of gives an implication of birth mother, though you could argue, Breha is her real mother. She raised her. That's her mom. So it could be argued either way. But I personally believe that somehow the Force has shown what Padme to Leia, or Padme or Bail and Breha told her at least about Padme. That's my theory. Continue.
Okay, so David Walker says, did Breha definitely die when Alderaan goes boom? I know Wikipedia says so, but I don't know where that specifically comes up. Gonna have to reread Princess Leia comics again. And David Walker says, there's nothing specifically in there that can't be interpreted as her having died earlier. Might just have to go with the whole Force thing. Seems the best way to go. And then Patrick Delmore said, I was just typing a similar response. And then Aaron Henley says, that's been a major sticking point for me. Pre-episode 3, I always figured Padme went into hiding on Alderaan as a handmaiden or something to the Organas after giving birth to the twins and they're being separated, and raised Leia a little before dying of an actual disease and not loss of will to live. Oh, that's bad writing. She just gave birth. How is that not a reason to live? Okay, calm down. And then the Organas adopting her. So the Force thing Hope's talking about is probably the best explanation for a bad decision in the film. Maybe something will be addressed with Leia and Kylo as he grew up in The Last Jedi. And I can't even say Jedi anymore as shorthand, because now people will ask Return of or The Last, with him being able to sense Leia's moods or something, but I doubt it. Well, there's also a theory going on that has been going around that Palpatine used the Force to polish off Amidala. That was, part of his plan was, and once he got really powerful, that big surge of power, he just sapped the last of the life out of her, because he needed her, she had to be dead for him to basically own Darth Vader. So there's that theory too that works really well.
The Force birthed Anakin, and we just saw three Force users in Mortis, so anything's possible.
Yep. So then Robert Bell says, Lucas clearly forgot about that point by the time of Revenge of the Sith. And I think that sums up about what I think of the whole thing too. I 100% agree with that. And Aaron Henley says, this is why we needed a Dave Filoni or Pablo Hidalgo back then. I'm glad we do have them. I'm glad we do now. I guess it means I'm glad we do have them now. And Robert Bell, if Dave wrote Revenge of the Sith, it might have fixed some plot holes. Aaron Henley, somewhere in the infinite earths, he did. I want to live there.
Me too. All right. Now I'm going to do my Barihina from the Baduku from Brazil, you said?
It's Baduco. I have mine, too. Is it the one that looks... It looks like... The picture on it looks like a Fig Newton with a couple pieces of chocolate.
Yeah, and mine has a rollerblade and a headphone, and it says 90 calories.
90 calories. So this is good, because... a little behind the scenes, Hope and I have recorded 2 episodes tonight, so this is our second candy. We're getting treated twice by Dario Gonzalez, who rescued me from the boring and plasticky, waxy chocolate of American candy by going around the world and sending candy bars of all variety and just general sweets to Hope and I for us to eat. Now I'm opening it. It looks like a long Fig Newton.
It smells like a Chips Ahoy.
Oh, it does smell like a Chips Ahoy. Or Cookie Crisp cereal, too.
It doesn't taste like a Chips Ahoy, but it's kind of similar. The inside is more creamy than I thought it was going to be.
It's got a little bit of... It's good.
It's not as sweet as, say, like the Big Cherry we had last week.
No, I'm glad. I'm glad it isn't, because that would maybe be the just thing that pops me over the edge to the beetus. What does this remind me of? It's like a ladyfinger with chocolatey nougat in it in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
There's a little bit of a cream puff flavor to it, too. It's good. It's got the cookies got a little vanilla.
The inside doesn't have, like, that chocolate chip kind of flavor. It's more of, like, a creamy chocolate flavor.
It's a creamy... There's an almost coconutty... Maybe it has coconut oil. Somewhere... It's a little like frosting, too, though.
Yeah! That's the word I was looking for when I said liquid.
It's good. This is actually kind of my favorite one since the Menamins. Menanins?
The Monamins?
Monamins.
From Israel?
Monamins from Israel. Those were, like, so far, I think, my favorite
candy of
all of Dario's candies, even more so than the Kit Kats. Although, the cheesecake Kit Kats, pretty damn good.
I still want those.
But this is delicious. It's a little frosting bar.
So where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com, where I just sit around all the time tapping my toes to snazzy music and pushing all the buttons that make podcasts go down the conveyor belt and down into your ears.
You should be playing some, like, snazzy jazz music right now.
I probably should. I probably am.
I hear it.
I'm using my psychic powers to predict that I probably am.
Your psychic editing powers. When you go back and listen, you're going to put a song in and go, oh, shit, I have to put in jazz music now. Yep. My bad.
And, I'm going to make a psychic prediction since this is like going to come out like 3 weeks from now from when we're recording it. I think if you were to go to Two True Freaks right now, I'll bet you'll find a lot of podcasts about Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's
coming up this weekend, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm hoping to have maybe one of our traditional review shows with Scott Gardner, but we have another little idea, a Guardians idea that we're going to hopefully get out to. If all goes well, it's already out there. It's already been out there for a week or so, but yeah.
I heard there are 5 cutscenes so sit through every single credit all the way to the very end.
I know, I already know people who've spoiled all the spoilers for it, spoiled all the cutscenes and stuff.
Yeah, I'm avoiding, like, internet until... I'm hoping to see it Sunday. I'm planning on going to go see it Sunday.
I've seen vague reviews of it where they, you know, they talk about it. Like, I've even seen the ones where they barely touch the... You know, they'll say, okay, it has this kind of a story, but they don't really tell you any elements of it. And from what I've heard, I'm really looking forward to it. It sounds like it's, it sounds like it's sort of the same thing, but they added some depth. They added some depth in characters, so that means you should be really happy.
Yeah, I hope it's good. I can't wait to see it.
Anyway, what where can people find you?
You can find me. I'm on Facebook right now.
On Weather Watts?
No, I was not on my page, and on the page of notes, and then I was like, wait, I'm on Facebook, that doesn't help me. you can find me on our Twitter at JGuysAndJedi. I also have my personal Twitter at Hope Molinax, and I am the news writer for whatthefangirl.com. So if you go out there, you can see some of the cool things I do over there. So, yeah, check us out with the fangirl, yo. That's not who I am. Oh, man, Chris, but you ready? You ready?
I'm ready.
Next week, we're starting my favorite arc of season 3.
Oh, really?
The fucking Citadel. Yeah! The Citadel! It's 3 episodes of awesome, and it's so good, and there's a lot of clones. And fought, you remember the very first 2 episodes of the season? It was the clone cadets and Fives and Echo were there, and I was just like, man, Fives and Echo, I love them. You don't remember.
I do remember.
You do remember?
I'm still eating my candy bar.
Well, Fives and Echo are back, and do you know who also shows up in the Citadel episodes?
Jar Jar?
Tarkin.
Oh, okay. I remember this now.
Yeah.
It wasn't ringing any bells, but I like this. Yeah, not to spoil ahead, but yeah, I like Anakin and Tarkin's relationship.
Me too. As much as I hate Tarkin and I can't wait for him to die in the fire, and he's one of my least.
At least you get the like knowledge. You know that he is going to die in a fire every second that you're casting eyes on him, you know?
Like, Tarkin is the character I love to hate. Like, I like every show I watch, there's a character I love to hate. That's Tarkin. I fucking hate Tarkin. I can't stand him.
Yeah, you at least you know that he doesn't, like, possibly go off to some, like, far-off world and retire with some money that he buried in the ground and lives a nice, comfortable life and gets married and has some kids, you know, after the fall of the Empire. You know that he dies horribly.
I know. So I'm so excited. We're done with the Mortis arc. Yay! Yay!
Insert flushing sound here.
Everybody dance now. Oh no, let's end with some Black Eyed Peas. Tonight's the night. Live it up. We're done with Mortis. Citadel next week, yo. We're gonna get it done, yeah? Gonna get back to Rex, hey, and have some Starkin, yeah. Raise your glass, Mazel Tov, yay.
Did you say Mazel Tov?
That's how the song goes.
Oh, okay.
You're like, fill up your cup, drink, Mazel Tov, l'haim.
Oh, okay. I think that's the song you're talking about.
That's all right.
It's one of those rock and roll songs.
No, it's more of like a poppy...
dance pop song, yeah.
Black.
What passes for rock and roll these days? No, I know the song you're singing. I've seen the video.
Yeah. Here we go. Tonight's the night. Oh, live it up.
I'm going to cut it back there just a little bit, probably on that song.
That's all right. That's fine.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
I got it in the tip of my tongue.
Come on.
Oh, golly. I'm not able to... Let me see. Oh! Alexander Dumbass! Oh, Henry Dumbass!